Welcome back for the second time this week to the Crossing Routes podcast, powered by FTN. I am Herms. I am joined by my co-host, Tyler O, as always. And in this one, we are going to be talking about some early ADP fades. I have an article on the website that you can check out. 10 players that I am avoiding within the first five rounds of fantasy drafts based on current ADP. And we are going to talk about a handful of them in this episode, just to give you a little bit of a preview. I'll have the article linked in the description for anybody that wants to check it out. That's about all the, you know, setting at the table that I need to do. Tyler, what's up?
Dude, thrilled to be here. We're at number four, episode four.
Yeah,
of the Crossing Routes podcast. It's going by fast. I feel like we just started yesterday. Maybe it was a few weeks ago. Who knows? But as always, good to be on the mic with you, my friend Herms, and ready to jump in.
Absolutely. Let's just dive right in. Let's dive right into this with the first player that I am fading. This is the guy who is the ADP wide receiver six at the pick 9.8 in ADP. That's Nico Collins of the Houston Texans. Now, my big argument for this is basically just that I think it's a little bit too close to his scoring ceiling. He finishes the wide receiver 10 in PPR points per game last year, averaging 17.6 per game. And I know that people could just say, what about when he was healthy over the first 5 weeks, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, I get it. He was a little bit less like himself after he hurt his hamstring. But he was the wide receiver 4. 21.3 PPR points per game over that first 5 week stretch. But like, that's such a small sample. Like, that's such a small sample to just put this guy in the first round just by itself. But then we add the fact that what did Houston do this offseason? They just added weapons for CJ Stroud. They Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, the Iowa State teammates, bam, both of them on day two. They go out, they trade for Christian Kirk. It was for a seventh rounder. It's basically for nothing, but like, it's still another body.
He's going to play. He's going to play.
Yeah. Like, it's someone. And that's not even mentioning, well, I guess it is now, Dalton Schultz. He's there. He's around. Technically counts. So it's just really busy. I have another kind of, you know, little gotcha thing that I'll tack on at the end, but I want to get to your thoughts on Nico first. Do you think it's fair that he's going in the first round, or where are you at?
No, I'm in full agreement with you, Herms. I promise we won't agree all show. Hey. But, you know, I have him as the wide receiver 9 overall. So, like, not terribly far off from there. I think you mentioned he's a wide receiver 6 overall. My issue is I got a lot of players in between. I mean, I actually have him at 21 in my half PPR redraft rankings. I have a bulk of running backs that I would much rather have than Nico. He does start off that kind of third tier. You know, the Higgins, the Londons, McConkeys there, but there's just this like group of running backs in half PPR, the Christian McCaffreys, Henrys, Devin Achane, Josh Jacobs, Jeanty, even like Breece Hall and Jonathan Taylor, where I'm in half PPR redraft. I want these running backs before I drop to this next tier of wide receivers that Nico Collins is in. And, you know, I don't want to parachute too much, but it's a more crowded room. I do think that C.J. Stroud will return a little, like, what do we get from C.J. Stroud in year three? More year one or year two? I would bet it's probably a little bit more like year one than year two, but at the same time, at the expense that he just has more talented pass catchers to throw the ball to, the ball can go in more places. I think Nico Collins is, again, being drafted at his ceiling, as you said, and he's a guy that I'm, you know, if he is my wide receiver one on my team, I'm okay, because that usually means that I've got two other elite players at other positions, but at the same time, he's not a guy that I'm going to be taking in the first round. He's a second rounder for me and a late second rounder at that.
So I'm definitely with you, obviously, for all the reasons that you and I just discussed. But if for some reason you're a listener out there and you are not sold on this, you are just very adamantly pro Nico Collins, you're allowed to hold that stance first and foremost. Don't let miss, you know, like, we're making good suggestions here, but nobody's going to tell you what to think. But there's a player at basically the same ADP cost at pick 9.3. Would you rather have Nico Collins or Ashton Jeanty? Like, I mean, honestly, like, are you really going to pass up Ashton Jeanty to take Nico Collins? It's about the best argument I can make. Just Think about that. Answer that.
Yep. I am a lower than market on Ashton Jeanty. Great prospect. I've mentioned this multiple times. I think my one cause for some, I wouldn't say concern. It's not even a red flag, maybe not even an orange flag. Let's call it a yellow flag. It was just the level of competition that he played. Of course, he looked so good playing the teams that he did. And then he goes up against a really good defense in Penn State. And he didn't have a bad game, but like he looked a little more human. So like, you know, does he look a little more human, you know, in the NFL? Like, he's certainly going to get the volume. He's certainly going to get the opportunity. But I just have some concerns that he's going to be elite out the gate. With that said, I still am drafting Ashton Jeanty ahead of Nico Collins. So I think it just to hammer your point home even further, there we go.
Yeah. So like even all things considered, even with all of that extra information added, we are still not taking Nico Collins at this price. I think it makes sense. Another player that I really, really don't want to take at his price is Bucky Irving, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers second year running back, really came out of nowhere, surprised us last year. The tough part before I get into why I don't necessarily like his cost, I understand his cost. Like, I'm not going to value him outside of the top 12 running backs. Like, that would be a little bit ridiculous. There are some cases like this where I get the price. I'm not really going to argue it, but I'm just not going to spend it. I'm not going to feel comfortable unless he falls past that. Now, the specific reason, from week 12 through the end of last season. Now, I include week 18 for this stuff. You guys can yell at me, but like, hey, they're football games. They count. It is what it is. That's just, I'm just throwing that out there. From week 12 through the end of the season, after Bucky Irving won over the majority of the snaps from Rashad White, he was the RB9 in PPR points per game, 18.3. So he was the RB9 as the backfield leader. And now his price is exactly RB9. It is exactly at the ceiling that he hits. And like, if he splits touches at all for any reason, like he did a little bit last year with Rashad White, I'm not sure how far above this he's going to ascend. That's my whole thing. Are you with me? Are you against me? I don't know.
Easily with you on this one, Herms.
All right.
Easily with you. I have him at RB11 right now. He's kind of a harder guy for me to rank. I waffle on him and Jonathan Taylor and Breece Hall a lot. The thing is, you know, I have not done my projections yet. They're not finished. You know, I'm still kind of toying around with them. But, you know, finding Bucky Irving 250 carries is really hard to do. And then with Rashad White, who is, you know, is he a good runner? I would say he's very much below average. But Rashad White is a good pass catcher, right?
Yes.
Finding Bucky Irving 55 targets is not an easy thing to do. And when you're not getting 250 carries, you're going to have to be like Devin Achane and get 80, 90 targets in order to finish in the top 10. And I just don't think with Rashad White in the picture as a very good pass catching running back, Bucky Irving has that kind of ceiling. So I feel good about the rank of RB11. And what's funny is even if I do, you know, finish and be like, all right, I'm putting him above Breece Hall and Jonathan Taylor. He's RB9. He's RB9.
Yeah.
So I have, he's a guy that I've completely avoided. He's just a guy that I'm like, why would I take Bucky Irving in the second round of my drafts when I can just wait around and get Breece Hall or Jonathan Taylor, or wait, you know, a round and a half, two rounds and get like a Kyren Williams and a Chase Brown, who I think easily could finish in that same range or even above with more volume. He's a talented back. He was slept on as a rookie. People who believed in him, it paid off, obviously. But I think we do need to check ourselves in how high we're about to go on a guy who's probably most likely not going to see 300 touches in a full season.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's just as simple as that. You know, it's the massive risk that he's not going to be able to hit these volume benchmarks because someone else is involved. And forgive me if I mentioned this up top when discussing Bucky Irving, but Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator that like really unlocked this Tampa Bay offense last year, is gone. He is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They promoted from within, so like it's probably going to be a lot of the same stuff, but like I don't want to not mention that anytime there's big coaching staff moves, especially, you know, stuff like that, offensive coordinators that are, you know, pretty well-known guys, especially ones from the Sean McVay tree, like, we care. We care about that if they're not going to be around. So just wanted to mention that. That, I think, covers it for Bucky Irving, but that does not cover us for this entire episode. We will get into a couple other players and a pretty interesting kind of general sort of philosophy discussion on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. What is up? What is up? This is still the Crossing Routes podcast. It's Herms. It's Tyler O. We're talking about early ADP fades. And the next player that I want to talk about, it's near and dear to my heart. My beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. The quarterback situation is gross, and therefore I am not super excited about really any of their pass catchers, but the one that is worthy of most discussion is DK Metcalf, ADP wide receiver 30, going at pick 53 overall. Mind you, real quick, we are sourcing this ADP from our own data available on ftnfantasy.com. Be sure to check out ftnfantasy.com for all sorts of ADP and all the stats that I'm pulling for this. I found in our stats hub. You can sign up for a subscription, get access to all the sort of metrics and fun things that we talk about on this show. But back to Metcalf. I think two things need to happen. We need to be promised that either one of these two things happen. Either like Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins makes it to this team and is the quarterback. I don't think I need to justify why, because they're both better than anything they have now. Or Mason Rudolph has to start the entire season and not get benched. I have some numbers that kind of support the Rudolph argument, blah, 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 but I don't want to hog up too much time because we do have to hear your thoughts about DK Metcalf as well.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of a bit bullish on DK Metcalf. He's been a guy that it was kind of easy for me to be out. I mean, it's really easy to be out when Pickens wasn't down, but with Pickens shipped off to Dallas, I've kind of had to sit back and really just like rethink, like, how am I viewing this situation, right? Because we know the Steelers are going to run the football. I mean, it's part of the identity, but they're going to probably have to throw a decent amount to win some games. I mean, they're probably still going to gut out a 500 season no matter what, because that is just what Tomlin does. But taking a look at things like, you know, Mason Rudolph, like you said, I think he can finish dead last amongst starters. Like, let's say he is the 32nd quarterback overall, plays 17 games. He's probably still throwing the ball 500 times. Like, probably throwing the ball 500 times, right? And when you throw the ball 500 times, you got to break up that pie somewhere. And frankly, there's not a lot of places to break up that pie. And for me, it is conservatively an estimate, in my opinion, to kind of find DK Metcalf 125, 135 targets on the season, which it was pretty damn good. You know, they're not going to be the best targets. Probably not going to have the best catch rate. There's probably not going to be a ton of touchdowns attached to Mr. DK Metcalf. But at the same time, he's a guy that, you know, I hate to do the adage, you know, the old adage of the ball has to go somewhere. But I mean,
yeah.
100, 125, 130 targets, easily within the range of outcomes. Like, you know, as I tweak projections around here, finding him under 120 targets is damn near impossible unless you are hoping for a Roman Wilson breakout or Freiermuth being a top five tight end or something. He's getting those targets, right? Those targets are likely, even if with a bad catch rate, are going to result in, you know, over 1,000 yards. And probably, sure, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns. And with that, he's probably going to finish on that fringe of being a wide receiver 2. I'm a little more, again, bullish on him. I have him as my wide receiver 21. I'm above ECR. Probably at right now in this moment, I would find myself with a lot of DK Metcalf. But I think with the context of like saying, hey, Mason Rudolph is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
True.
I think that DK Metcalf can get 125 targets and go for 1,050 yards and catch, you know, and get 7 touchdowns, and he can finish as a low-end wide receiver 2, and that's kind of his price. And it's not sexy, but I think I'm in. I think I'm in on DK Metcalf.
Yeah, and I think I argued that a little bit in the article too. I think I'm really hung up on the possibility that it is only Rudolph and it doesn't work out for some reason, because having watched this team for the majority of my life, I've already seen him get yanked because the team realizes he's not that good and go with someone else. And like the drop off that we're going to get, even so, assuming all you said with the caveats you outlined is true, and we're still talking about him being the worst, we are talking about the worst getting replaced for a talent that's probably not worst. As good. So like, it's exactly. Fair. So like, that's where it gets really tricky for me. So like, if the caveats of the veteran coming in or Rudolph starting the whole year could definitely work. I wanted to point out, Rudolph did support Calvin Ridley pretty well in his 5 starts last season. In those games, Ridley averaged 4.8 receptions, 75.5 receiving yards, and 15.9 PPR points per game, which would have been the wide receiver 22 over the course of the entire year in 2024, for context. So it's pretty much right in line with what you're saying. I do want to ask, though, before we transition into our final topic of this episode, the rumors of them being the Steelers, maybe going out and trading for Jonnu Smith, or this idea that they're still looking to add one more offensive playmaker, the irony of trading away George Pickens aside, do you think that them going out and doing that would change your outlook on Metcalf at all?
Maybe a bit, but frankly, mm-hmm. I just react and adjust accordingly. It seems like it's, the thing is, like, there's been so many reports about what the Steelers are going to do this offseason. Like, I went on a podcast probably a couple months ago, and, you know, everyone was pretty much like, oh, yeah, they're going to sign Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, no, they're not, man. They're not going to sign Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's happening. I think they're really going to roll into the season with Mason Rudolph, and I don't think they're going to add another pass catcher. I think the team that we see, at least from an offensive standpoint and a pass catcher standpoint, is what it is for the season. So, yeah, it could shift things a bit. And it could change my stance here if they do add someone like Jonnu. But at the same time, I am where I am now, and I feel pretty good about being decently in on DK Metcalf.
Fair enough. Can't really argue that. That leads us into our final little discussion that we have. So it's technically two players. It's Josh Allen going as the QB1 pick 33.3. Lamar Jackson, QB2, pick 36.1. I'm cheating a little bit. Like, it's basically just because I don't want to take a quarterback really just before round 5 or 6. But that does lead us into something that I found out when I was just looking stuff up. I kind of knew, anecdotally speaking, already that we're seeing the shift. There are more quarterbacks who are running the ball that are in that sort of, you know, runny boy archetype, whether they're just full runners, or if you listen to our last episode, if they're just guys who scoot, you know, they're still adding some fantasy production with their legs. So like, the top earners are really starting to separate themselves from the rest of the field. So this late round quarterback strategy, shout out JJ Zacharyson. Like, I'm not saying it was a bad idea or anything, but it's just really not aging well with some of the trends that we've been seeing. So I found this fun stat. Listeners, if you already knew about this, great. If you didn't, you're about to learn something new. In 2021, there were 11 quarterbacks that finished with an average of 20 fantasy points per game or higher. That's the baseline we're starting at. The following year, that number dropped from 11 to 4. And over the last 2 seasons combined, I'm talking 2023 and 2024, folks, there have been 12, one more than just 2021 by itself. So you do need a guy who's a difference maker. I am actually very much okay with telling people, if you want to take a top guy and they fall like a little bit past that range into like, you know, really late 4th if you want to stretch it, but like 5 or 6, round 5 or 6 is about where I would say you could really start thinking about it. There's one player in specific that I would recommend that we'll talk about after we, you know, throw it over to you. But yeah, like, that, this is just a thing. This is the landscape now. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I am very much so team take an elite quarterback early. As you mentioned, there's a small subset of quarterbacks who are kind of over that 20 points per game average, and those guys are giving you an edge every single week. while everybody else is rostering quarterbacks that are doing, you know, 16 to 18. With that said, you know, if you don't get an elite guy, absolutely just shift to the late round strategy. That's basically how I go about it. There's that tier at the top. I've talked about it. This year for me, it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Hurts, and then Burrow, which, you know, I think he's going to lead the league in passing this year. But, you know, those other four guys, they're pure runners in the NFL. They make a huge difference on the ground, and they're good passers. So I am very much take an elite quarterback when you can. And if you don't get one, just wait till the end and grab yourself the Drake Mays or the Bo Nixes of the world. But I to speak to your point, what I think is interesting, though, is, you know, if you're going to have to pay in the 30s, you know, what is that, like early fourth round, maybe end of third round for the Lamar Jacksons or Josh Allens, if you can wait another round to get Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels, I think that's where you're going. That's definitely a move that you could take, because there's still some premier NFL talent at other positions in that third round.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is that name, man. Like, I already like drafting him a bunch in redraft as it is. He's been the quarterback of my home league team for like the past two seasons. Love him to death. But his ADP, according to our ADP, again, FTNFantasy.com, boom, another plug. Got to pay those bills, baby. ADP 48.6, like barely at like the end of that fourth round. It's like, if he slips even just a little bit, then absolutely take him. And I'm sorry, if you don't like the tush push, it really doesn't matter. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be part of the game. And Jalen Hurts is going to continue to get a lot of those rushing touchdowns. Like, I feel bad for Saquon Barkley, because like, if they had gotten rid of it, his ceiling just would have gone way higher. But it's still going to be there for Hurts. The big thing everybody was worried about happening that could possibly hamstring Jalen Hurts didn't happen. So, yeah. There you go. I think that's pretty solid information we got there. Any final notes you want to throw out? Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nope, not at all, Herms. We covered it.
Hell yeah. Real quick, I will plug that article, the 10 players to avoid within the first five rounds of drafts at ADP cost. Of course, have that link in the description. If you subscribe to FTN Fantasy, not only will you be able to read that entire article, but you will have so many perks. You could access our Discord, talk to us. If you ever want to just ask us fantasy questions directly, you can get in there and you can do that. And you can get access to our stats hub that is the home of all sorts of statistics, metrics, every nerdy piece of information about football that you would ever want to know is in there. My name is Herms. His name is Tyler O. We are the Crossing Routes Podcast, and we will talk to you next week. Adios. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.